what is heaven like? Well, they say it's a glorious place, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, here's what C.S. Lewis says. It's farther up and deeper in. I kind of like that, farther up and deeper in. So we're going to conclude. I don't know how many weeks we've been studying the book of Revelation, but this is the last of the entire series. And 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then what? Face to face. For I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. For all eternity, you know what we're going to be doing? We're going to be growing. We're going to be learning. We're going to be developing. I believe for all eternity, we'll become more and more and more and more and more and more and more like God. Now, is there any end to God? No. So we're going to become more like Him for all eternity. I mean, that's pretty exciting. Change is coming. I like that idea. And in Luke chapter 16, 23, the scripture tells us that we're going to know each other. See, you thought you were going to get away from me, didn't you? You thought when you get to heaven, you say, I ain't going to mess with that preacher no more. He won't know him. He won't know me. That's not true. Listen to this, verse 23. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. We're going to know each other. As a matter of fact, you're going to know family. How many have family that have gone before you? Let me see you. Yeah, well, you're going to know them. They're going to know you. And we're excited. You know, I was thinking about it today. And I shared with you our little tragedy in our family and Mary's miscarriage at 12, 13 weeks. And, you know, that's a hardship on any woman and any family. And some of you have gone through the very same thing. But, you know, yesterday we planted two little white roses right by my door. And one for April's miscarriage and baby and one for Mary's. And I walked through those two white roses today. And man, did I have a different perspective. I said, I didn't get to hold you over here, but I'm going to hold you over there. So, you know, one of the first things I'm going to do is say, where's my babies? You know what I'm talking about? So we're going to know each other. C.S. Lewis says this, the faces of our friends laugh upon us with amazed recognition. It's like, hey, man, I know you. Did we go to church together? Shut the door. We did. We're going to give each other high fives and slap each other on the back. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11 says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're going to see them, those that you know. You're going to speak with them. You're going to hang out with them. You know, we're going to have a relationship more than it was before. I mean, we've got relationships now that we cherish, right? But it's going to even be better. It's going to even be more, not less. Revelation 21, verse 9 through 11. Open up your Bible. Let's take a look at it. Look at the screens. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Wow, going to the chapel and going to get married. Amen. He said he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now the bride is not a building. You know, it's not a city like you think of now. It is the bride. It's the church. And it's the city that Jesus promised his disciples in John 14, 2, when he said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And he's going to join with us again. The prepared place is coming to the earth. And the inhabitants are the members of the bride of Christ. It is an exciting thing. Think about it with me, church. It's four square. Have you ever thought about that term? Revelation 21, 15 and 16. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. So it's like a cube. In interpreting that, we see 1,500 miles square. That's why they call it the four square city. 1,500 miles. But notice something about a wall around the city. That's kind of odd, isn't there? Because there's no enemies to keep them out. So why a wall? Perhaps it suggests it's an exclusive city. A visual reminder that not all had access to God. We really don't know, but the Bible says there'd be a wall around it. But notice this, 12 gates. Now the number 12 is very significant in the Bible, right? How many know that it signifies administration or government, right? So it's governmental or administrative in its meaning. So we find multiples of 12 in the administration of God's universe. You see 24 thrones. You see 12 angels. You see 12 tribes. You see 12 foundations. And you see 12 apostles. That's pretty powerful. And the foundation stones of the city contain the names of the apostles. So the foundation stones of the city contain the name of the 12 apostles. And that means that the holy city of God will contain the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Wow. The redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But also we see the 12 tribes or the 12 tribes of Israel, the gates of the city. And they are the vehicles of which the oracles of God actually were revealed in the Old Testament that spoke of the Messiah to come. So we see that the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles, it's about the redeemed of the Lord, but the 12 tribes, the vehicle or the oracle of which God spoke to reveal the Messiah. So it all speaks of God's administrative government of this city. And each side of the city is approximately 1,500 miles. And people that are really good with math, you know, not this person here, but I can read. They figured this out. This is interesting. Dr. Henry M. Morris concluded that a possibility of 20 billion residents can live there. 20 billion. Now, how many are on the earth right now? Almost 6 or just over 6 billion. This thing will contain 20 billion. But wait, and will enjoy, each person, approximately 1 cubic mile space of your own. So don't think that, well, there ain't going to be very much room in that 1,500 miles. Well, the 1,500 miles, let me give you an idea. It's from the eastern seaboard all the way over to the Mississippi River, all the way up to the Canadian border, down to the Gulf of Mexico. Cubed, squared. Over 20 billion people can live there. I mean, this is pretty incredible, isn't it, when you think about it? And that each resident can have 1 cubic mile. Hey, get off my grass. That's my grass. And it's interesting because it's going to be in a cube. And many theologians say the throne of God or the presence of God will be in the middle of that cube and everything will be built around it. And all eyes will be fixed on his authority. Isn't that awesome? Oh my, I'll tell you. So Revelation 21:21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. One pearl large enough to cover the gateway to this huge city. Just one. And streets will be gold, not asphalt. Isn't that something? When you think about that, the transparency or the transparent glass. And there won't be any temple in the city. Revelation 21:22, John says, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Isn't it cool now that we can tabernacle with God? You see, I can go to the temple of the Lord right now. I don't have to come to this building. I can go right into the tabernacle of the Lord, getting into the presence of God. But we see that in Revelation 21:22. And in the millennial, remember the millennial reign? There will be a memorial temple that will provide a place for people to worship because they'll be still dealing with the decision process in the millennium. There'll be people that'll have to make a decision about God. That's why there's a temple. But in the new heaven, new earth, there won't be any temple. God himself will be the temple. And in Hebrews 11, 9 and 10, it says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Man, that's where we're headed. That's where we're going. And God will be the light of the city, the very presence of the living God. Revelation 21, 22, and 24. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Look at verse 27, Revelation 21. But thereby shall be no means enter it, anything that defiles or cause an abomination, or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember, we talked last week about the Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of Life. And we said, why is it important that your name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because whosoever name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, their name was blotted out of the Book of Life. And whosoever name was not written in the Book of Life was cast into the eternal lake of fire. So we see that our names are in the Book of Life, but to keep them there, they got to get into the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because we know that names to be blotted out of the Book of Life are for three. One, for sin. Two, for a lack of righteousness. And three, don't keep the Word of God. How many know that if any man be in Christ, he fulfills all those things? Hallelujah. Your sin has been nailed to the cross. You are clothed in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the living Word. So that's why our names are not blotted out of the Book of Life. How many are glad you got Jesus? Woo, I'm glad. I'll make you jump up and down with me, but you look too comfortable, so I'll leave you sit there. Okay, I can't help myself. I try not to do this. I try to be sophisticated, but I just can't. All right. One of these days. It is a reminder of God's consistent pattern in dealing with people. God's consistent. Things have not changed. The message has not changed. People have tried to change it. People have tried to alter it. People have tried to come up with new messages. There's only one way. Jesus is the way, right? The truth and the life. No man goes to the Father but through Him. So it's heaven on earth. Here's a description of life on earth. Revelation 22, verse 1. This is cool. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Also, there was no more sea. This indicates that God Himself will be the self-sustaining substance of every person in the earth. We won't need a sea. You don't need to have fish. You don't need shrimp. You don't need red lobster. You just need God. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation 22, 2. Then I saw John. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, God forbade them to eat of the tree of life. The healing leaves here as we read in Revelation 22. Why would there be a tree with healing leaves? Is that to suggest that there's sickness in heaven? No, I don't think so. I think it suggests this. I believe that we are going to engage in a perfect relationship with God and a perfect relationship with one another. Those leaves are for the healing of our relationships. Let me tell you something. I know that Jesus said that we are to love the Lord our God with all our what? Heart, mind, soul, and our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. We realize that Jesus said this is the greatest commandment and the second is like the first. And I believe that the consummation of that is that He brings healing, perfect union between God and man and man and man. Isn't it going to be awesome? There will be no more strife one with another. Our ethnicity will not cause wars. Our borders will no longer encroach upon our security. Our money will no longer be attractive. We will value life the way we're supposed to value life. We'll have respect for one another like we're supposed to have respect for one another. But here's the good news. We don't have to wait till we get there. We can do it down here right now. That's why love is the key. We got to walk in love. People need to see that we don't have issues one with another. It's not worth division. The disunity in the body of Christ is a mark against the redemption of our Savior Jesus. We can't have aught against one another. We need to partake of the healing of those leaves of the healing tree now, because we have to come together. Because where there's unity, God commands the blessing. Oh, my heart just yearns for unity. My heart just yearns for real, true relationships and respect mutually and celebration of one another's lives without ulterior motives, without manipulation, without trying to use somebody for your own gain. Huh? Don't you hunger for that? Don't you desire for that? God doesn't have a caste system where there are some that are more important than others. How many know it doesn't matter if you're a finger or you're a toe or you're the heart beating in the chest? Every part of the body is valuable in the sight of God and should be with one another. I don't know where we got off on this, where we bring celebrities into the church. And we elevate men and we elevate women because of positions and gifts and functions they hold. That is not the kingdom of God. He's going to heal those relationships. But we don't have to wait till then. Let's be a church of unity. I mean true unity. And if we can't be unified, then let's admit it and come to the altar. Let's come before God and say, you know, God, I'm still having issues. I can't forgive. I can't forget. I need you to help me. I'm bitter. I'm angry. I don't like them. Whatever it is, but bring it to the cross. Don't carry it around. It really is a negative reflection upon the kingdom of God. Verse 27 says, there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, descriptions of life on earth, it tells us that God is going to make equitable and fair relationships, woo, one with another. And there shall be no more curse. How many are glad about that? I am. Revelation 22:3, no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in, and his servants shall serve him. Partially, the curse was lifted during the millennium, but not completely. Until the eternal order. Why? Remember, we said for those that lived to 100 and then died because they didn't receive Christ. Remember, those that were born in the millennium. So death was still present. So there was a partial manifestation of the curse in the millennium. But when we get to the eternal order, guess what? No more death. That's a good thing, huh? No more death. Hallelujah. And then verse 22, or 4 and verse chapter 22, they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads. Indicates that they are blood bought. Come on, lift your hands up. Say, thank God, I'm blood bought. That's right. Listen to this. 1 John 1:18 says that no one has seen God at any time. Until this time. Because they said they shall see his face. I used to sing this old hymn. I love this old hymn. We used to tap our foot. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Some of you don't even know that song, do you? You look at me like, wow, you're old, that's old. I don't know that song. Oh, I want to see him, man. I'm going to see Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm going to see him face to face. Yeah. Some people say, well, God walked right into my room. No, he didn't walk into your room. Because if he walked into your room, you would be not here telling me about it. That was something else, but it wasn't God. Might have been an angel or something, but it wasn't God. But we're going to see him face to face. Amen. Look at verse 5, Revelation 22. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. God himself, who is light, will be the light. This suggests consistency. This is good for those of us who live in northeastern Ohio. Are you ready? This suggests consistency of heat and temperature. Woo! 92, no humidity. Well, there won't be day and night, just all the time. 92 degrees. I don't know. What do you want it to be? You just deal with your cubicle mile. I'll deal with mine. Okay. But I know my cubicle mile is going to have some palm trees and sand and 92. All right. I'm just adding that. That's not in the Bible. You know that, right? Okay. There's no night there. I don't really know, but it says we're going to reign forever and ever with God. Now, I don't know what that means, but can I suggest some stuff? All right. That might involve universes. That might involve galaxies. Can you imagine if you're like in the 25th galaxy on the left? That's your place. That's what you're reigning. You're ruling there with God. And you have the whole galaxy. Or other planets. I mean, we don't know that. We can only guess at it. But one thing is certain. We're going to reign forever with Him. And you can't reign unless you got something to reign about. Or reign over, right? So we know it's going to be. But let me just give you like quick 9 things. And of what I feel like is going to characterize this moment. Number 1, a life of fellowship with Him. Isn't it sweet now? It's a sweet fellowship, even now. But then, it's going to be sweeter. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now, we see in a mirror. How? Dimly. But then how? Face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to suggest to us that face-to-face means intimate relationship with God. It means fellowship with the Creator of heaven and earth. It means a life of rest. Revelation 14, 13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. You know, we are so blessed here in this country. You know, there are almost 2 billion people living on this earth that make $2 or less a day. Did you hear me right? Every 24 hours, they make $2 or less. We are so blessed. We make that by the minute. Some people make $100 an hour. I mean, you go consult an attorney or or you go to a doctor or you get into, you know, you get into a, I was kind of funny the other day. I was doing a hospital visit and a nurse came in and I don't know how much the room was like $800 a day or something. You know, the hospital charges, then the doctor charges. And you go into a hospital stay and come out in 3 days and spend what, $15,000, $20,000? I mean, I don't know. It was really cute. She came in with these footies. And they were just cheap little footies. And I couldn't help myself. I just had to say it. I said, do those come with the room or are those extra? She looked over at me like, who are you? And so she takes them out of the pack and she hands it to him. And he looks at him, at her, and he says, can you put those on for me? And she like didn't want to do it. And I almost wanted to speak up and say, look, for $800, get them on my feet now. I get ornery once in a while. I can't help it. But there's going to be a life of rest in heaven. No need for hospital socks. No reason for charges to get some rest. Sometimes you got to go to the hospital just to take a break. Some people are like, I got to go see the doctor. I need a break. You're resting. You're in the presence of God. There's no more strife. There's no more struggle. There's no more competition. Isn't that good? Competition. You know, I've been preaching for 30-some years, and there's so much competition. How many people you got in your church? Are those your people or are they my people? I said, oh, Lord, just please, time out. Why are we in so much strife about churches and numbers and buildings, and it seems like we can't find rest. But you know, when we get to heaven, going to rest from all that stuff. Amen. A life of knowledge, 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. I'm going to know God in a deeper way. It's my quest every day. How about you? I want to know Him more. I said, Lord, I want to see another dimension of You that I haven't seen. I want You to manifest Yourself in me the way I haven't manifested You before. God, I want to go deeper. I want to go further. I want to go higher. But in that time, we're going to get knowledge, leaps and bounds about God. I mean, this is going to be an incredible thing. A life of holiness. Number four, Revelation 21:27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now imagine your life with nothing in it that defiles. I can't hardly imagine my life like that. I can't hardly imagine that. I mean, you think that you're making progress. Did you ever think that you're making progress and then something happens and you're like, whoops, I didn't make as much progress as I thought. There's still something in there that's kind of yucky. And it just came out. I'm so glad the church wasn't there. I'm glad it was just my wife. I'm glad it was just me. You know, but when we get into heaven, there'll be nothing that defiles. I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle living like that. You know, just free, pure, just nothing defiling, nothing, no abomination, no sin, nothing, just fresh, clean, pure, not affected, not impacted. Nothing can impact me. It's all unified and in harmony. There are no negative opinions. There's no rejection of other people towards you. Think about that. There's no temptation. You'd be so far beyond that. It's a total existence of rest and holiness. And then there's a life of joy. Revelation 21:4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more pain, no more death, no more crying, no more sorrow. For the former things have passed away. I mean, can you imagine there's no restraint to having total joy? I guess I can explain it like this. Have you ever been in a situation where you're not supposed to start laughing and you start laughing? I don't know whether it's a funeral or you're in a class or somebody's giving a speech and something's funny and you start laughing and somebody else laughs and they make you laugh. Did you ever do that? I've done that before. And I'm like, you know, I try to cure that by thinking, okay, Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus dying on the cross. And I'm trying to stop. And every time I look over, I'm like, and I have to walk out of the room. Sometimes I've just lost it totally. Have you ever experienced that? Y'all ain't happy? You get like that once in a while, right? I think that's something like unrestrained joy. It just comes out of you. We'll be walking around going, did you jump? Ooh, that was good. God is so powerful. Oh my gosh, this is a great day. Isn't this a great day? This is a great minute. Well, there won't be any minutes, will there? Time will be no more. How will we measure it? How will we measure it? Isn't it an amazing thing to live life the way God lives life? That's going to be amazing right there. Can you wrap your mind around that? I can't. All I know is there will be no restraint in the level of my joy. But you have to wait to get to heaven to have joy. You can have joy tonight. You can allow the Holy Spirit to well up in your belly. Joy of the Holy Spirit. How about a life of service? Revelation 22 and verse 3, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. I really like that, you know. His servants shall serve Him. If I ask you, how many here tonight would like to serve the Lamb on the throne when you get to heaven? Every hand would go up, right? Yeah, let me serve Jesus. But here's the thing. I really feel like this is a preparation time. If you can't serve the people you see. You see what I'm saying? This is a service-oriented time now. And it's always like pulling teeth in the church. Can we get somebody to help us? Please, please help us. You know, we're trying to pull out of people. Please help us here. Please help us there. Please help us here. Please help us there. Please, 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 please. You only have to do it for 2 weeks, maybe 2 months. And then you don't have to do it for the rest of the year. But we just need your help. Please, would you help us? But in heaven, I don't think there's going to be any angels around the throne of God going, please, please, would one of you redeemed Christians come over here and serve the Lamb on his throne? Would they, can I get somebody? And it was, well, you know, I got baseball tonight. I can't help you. I got to go do this. I can't do that. I'm just too tired. There won't be any of that there. But listen, if you want to serve him there, you better get fired up and serve him here. You and I need to start serving the Lord in some capacity. God put it in my spirit many years ago, 30 years ago. He said, people that want to become members of your church ought to do two things. Number one, they ought to tithe. Hello. And number two, they ought to serve. If they can't serve in the ministry, then they're not a member. They say, well, I'm a member. Where are you serving? Well, I'm not serving right now. Guess what? You're not a member. You're only a member when you're engaged in service. Well, we're not tithing right now because we're born. Well, you're not a member either. Smile back at me. Come on. Life of abundance. Revelation 21:6. And he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. It's a life of abundance. The Alpha and the Omega. I've been studying on the 103 names or titles of Jesus in the Bible. It's an incredible study. I'm going to start preaching that sometime in July, and I can't hardly wait because I'm so excited. And one of them is Alpha and Omega. God is the end of things. The other day, I was in a hospital room, and I just said, God, you just gave me a word. I said, we call on Omega. Bring an end to the sickness. I know you as Omega. And then we were talking about some people that were in the family that needed to be saved. And I said, well, yeah, okay, bring an end to the sickness. Now, Alpha, come. You're the beginning. Begin in them a work of salvation that they might know you in the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings. So I knew him in a different way. But he is the Alpha and the Omega. A life of abundance. Number eight, a life of glory. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Those are manifested personifications of his glory, presence or of his person. We live in his person. We live and move and have our being in him. And it literally, it'll come to pass. It'll take place. And then a life of worship. Revelation 19:1, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord, our God. What I've tried to do, I don't know when it all happened, it was some time ago, but in worship services, I try not to sing anymore. I just try to touch Jesus. I just try to worship him. And my singing is my, I use the words if they're good. If they're good lyrics, I use them as my adoration, as my proclamation to him. And so I'm not really just singing along with the bouncing ball, so to speak. I've come into a place of tabernacling with God, and I've used the lyrics inspired by somebody under the inspiration of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to script together a reflection of who God is. And I use it then as a help for me to get into his presence and his throne and to verbalize to him my appreciation and my adoration and my love for him. And so you see, it's a life of worship. And you don't have to wait to get to heaven to worship. You can worship tonight. You can be a worshiper. And that's not just singing songs. That's taking a script out of the heart of God and declaring it back to him. And being a person who is a life worshiper. Revelation 22:7, as we get ready to conclude here tonight, listen to this. He said, behold, I'm coming soon. Skeptics have said, yeah, right, coming soon. That was written over 2,000 years ago. Are you serious? Where's he at? If he's coming soon, why isn't he come? There are those who have forecast and broadcast that he's going to come a certain day, this last May 21st. He didn't show up. Now it's October 21st. Listen, I don't know about those days, but I do know this. He is coming soon. But let me just translate this better out of the Greek. Here's a better translation. Instead of saying, behold, I'm coming soon, this is actual the Greek understanding. It's behold, I come suddenly and without warning. So it's behold, I come suddenly and without warning. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now that puts a whole different connotation on it. It isn't I'm going to come soon, and the skeptics could rise up and say, well, if he's coming, where is he? It actually saying now, I'm going to come so suddenly without warning, you're not going to even realize it. So the best thing for you to do to be prepared is to keep the words of the prophecy of this book. In other words, live the word. Do the word. Don't be caught outside of the word of God. Find yourself in the word of God. Because if you're in the word of God, you're keeping the prophecies of this book. And when he comes suddenly, you'll be ready. It's not being ready by going to church. It's not being ready by being religious or adhering to some dogma. That's not being ready. Being ready is keeping the words of this prophecy. That's how we're ready. So I can't afford one day vacation. I'm not gonna take off today serving God. Recently, I had to know. I didn't understand. I noticed, you know, I just noticed. God put this shepherd thing in me, and I just noticed when people aren't around. And I'm like, okay, where is that person? Maybe it's been 4 months, but I finally go, oh, where are they at? And I look for them, and I don't see them. And I inquired about somebody recently. And they said, oh, it's sad. I said, why is it sad? Well, he's backslidden. I said, what? He's what? How did that happen? What occurred? What took place? Does he know about Revelation 22:7? That he's not ready? Now that's okay if you're a baby Christian or if you're a carnal Christian, I understand, but not this person. He was a worship leader. Ah, a worship leader. They have a history, you know, of backsliding. You say, how do you know that? Because Lucifer was a worship leader. But that doesn't mean to put the finger on anybody that stands on this platform. No, it is to say those who worship God in spirit and in truth come under the scrutiny and the attack of the enemy himself, who cannot stand the fact that you're giving praise and worship to the living God. He doesn't want you to do that. So he's going to steal away your praise and worship so you can praise and worship yourself or material things or whatever, some sexual thing or drug thing. And all I could respond was two words, so sad. I didn't know what to say. But there's still time for him, and there's still time for you. And that's why the Bible says now, today, is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not later. Not when I figure this out. It's not to be figured out. It's to be entered into. It's a big difference. See, when we approach it with our intellect, with our logic, when we try to understand it on the human side, we can't comprehend it. We get confused. We get crossed up. That's why we got to enter in to him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Not know about him, know him. So that's Revelation 22:7. And verse 7 contains this promise, church, to be sufficiently aware of the prophecy of this book and to be ready when the day arrives. I don't know where I got this image from, but I remember seeing a little boy, probably 8 or 9 years old, sitting on the porch. It's right before sunrise, and he's got his fishing pole in his hand. He's got his fishing cap on with his lures stuck through the cap. He's got his lunch in a paper bag, and he's sitting on the front stoop waiting for Dad to come pick him up to go fishing because Dad promised that he was going to go fishing. I got that picture somewhere in my mind. I can't get it out when I think about this instance. Dad wasn't going to pick him up until 8 o'clock. I mean, it's just before sunrise, and he's already outside with his stuff. That's how you be ready. You're not waiting the last minute. You're not scurrying around. I'll be right out, Dad. Let me find my fishing pole. Let me go back and get some oil. I'm almost out. Be right there. Hold on. 1 minute. 1 minute. Be right back. Thank you, Jesus. And you go get oil. Well, the Bible says that in that moment, the door closed. Think about that. They came back and they're like pounding on the door. Let us in. Let us in. Hey, we're back. Let us in. And a voice on the other side said, depart. I never knew you. Casually serving God each day. Procrastinating in our intimacy with Him. No. You can't make me become carnal. I just refuse. I won't engage in that church drama. I won't do it. It's not worth it to me. I don't want to cross the boundary into anger or bitterness or unforgiveness. I don't even want to hear. I don't want to know. I just want Him. If you want Him, I want you. I want to hang with you. But if you don't want Him, then we don't have a lot to share. I'm going to give you Jesus, but listen, I can't be your friend. Revelation 22 and 10 says, and He said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Isn't that something? In other words, He was telling us this. He said, go tell the story. Go tell the story. Don't seal up the prophecies of this book. Go tell the story. Go tell it. Jesus loves you. Jesus has a great plan for your life. Jesus Christ is coming again as a king. He's going to conquer the nations. Jesus Christ has an eternity scheduled and planned and destined for you. Go tell the story. It's interesting what He told Daniel. He said, close up the book of this prophecy. Why? Because it wasn't ready. It wasn't time. It's the same prophecy that we're getting here in Revelation 22 that God says to John, go open it up. Don't close it, open it. It's the same prophecy He told Daniel, don't open it, close it. This is the time. Now is the time. The bell is rung. It's over. It's time. It's ready. He can come any moment. And the last invitation. I love this scripture in Revelation 22 and 17. You've read it before, I'm sure. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Now is the time. Come. Get the water of life. Now. Come. But notice who's making the invitation. Amen. The Spirit. And who else? Okay, I can hear the Spirit say, come. But where's the voice of the bride? You see what I'm saying? We're the bride of Christ. It's our duty to say, come. Jesus has a plan for you. Come. There is a river, a water that's freely given that'll bring life to you. Take a drink. Take a drink tonight. Invite Him into your heart. Make Him the Lord of your life. Your life will never be the same again. Salvation is a matter of the will. Because it says whoever desires. Whoever desires, let him take. Whatever you desire. It's a matter of your will. In the midweek service, 99.9% of all the people have already made a choice for Christ. I understand that. But there might be 0.1% present who has not. And Jesus is standing here today and saying, come. He who hears, come. Let him who hears, let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, we thank you for the promise of heaven. We thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, for freely giving to us our salvation. I'm asking you this evening, Holy Spirit, that you will minister one and one by one. Holy Spirit, would you go up and down these aisles touching the heart of every man and every woman, drawing them with the invitation. Spirit of God, say come. So tonight as we pray, we're asking around this room, if you're here today and you don't know for certainty that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven, you can know. For the Bible says these things are written that they may know they have everlasting life. If that's you this evening and you say, hey, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need that prayer. Nobody looking around, just lift your hand up, hold it there for a second. Then you can put it back down. Thank you, sir. You can put it back down. Anyone else? Yeah, we're praying for you. Anyone else? Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Let's all stand, please. Altar ministers, would you come to the front? And elders, would you come as well? I want to share something with you real quickly before we pray, if I may. I was trying to really get my thoughts together about this because I felt like the Lord gave me a word for the service tonight other than this. And it's when David was going to attack the Jebusites. I don't know if you know that story in the Bible. The king of the Jebusites told David he could never conquer Jerusalem. And then he mocked him. He said, are you kidding me? There is no way you're ever going to get into this city. And so the Lord spoke to me early this morning and he said, you know what? I have people who have been told they'll never conquer a thing that they've been dealing with. As a matter of fact, that thing has almost mocked them in their pursuit to try to conquer. And I said, Lord, I relate to that. And then you know what happened in that story? Joab, the commander, found an entrance into that which could not be conquered. And you know what it was? The water shaft or the aqueduct into Jerusalem. And they went up the aqueduct and they conquered the city. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, it's the waters of life. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the flow of the Holy Ghost. So that thing that has been defying you, you know, that unconquering thing, that resistant thing, God said, you know what? The Holy Spirit is your Joab, and he's going to make an entrance into that thing, and you're going to have victory. And I just pray for that tonight. So maybe on that word, you'll say, boy, that witnesses to me, and you'll come for prayer because you know that you need to get a breakthrough. This is your Baal prayerism tonight. God wants to give you a breakthrough. So if you raise your hand for salvation prayer, or maybe you need prayer for some situation that's been resisting, would you come right now? Come on. All over this room. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as we cry out to you, we thank you, Lord, that we come into your glorious presence. We come, oh God, knowing that you're our Joab. You're our aqueduct. You're our entry point. You are that flow of the Spirit that will bring us into complete and total victory. Hallelujah. And we give you all thanks and praise, Lord. Because I know that there's nobody like you, Jesus. No one like you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm falling on my knees. Can you sing that? You're falling on my knees. Yes, Lord, we're falling on our knees. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We glorify your name, Jesus. And if you need that prayer, come on. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Thank you, Lord. Come on, if you need that prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, Lord, tonight as we conclude this time together, I'm asking you, Father, that you make a way where there has been no way. And Lord, we know our way is in the flow of the Holy Ghost, making an entry into the fortified place that has defied us. Bless these people, Father, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. These are the cards that we have. And I hope that you'll pick up a 12-pack, get a purple book, start discipling somebody right away. You can give your offering on the way out tonight. There'll be Betty's over there, and I don't know who else will be over there. But if you're making a check, make it out to CNC. God bless you all. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. I'll see you next time or up on the north side.